Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're so sorry that we have had, because of technical problems, been delayed in getting on the air, but we have brought everything together. My guest today is Kenneth M. Adams. We're going to be talking about his wonderful book, When He's Married to Mom, How to Help Mother-Enmeshed Men Open Their Hearts to True Love and Commitment. Again, my guest is Dr. Kenneth M. Adams. Dr. Adams, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you have worked for 25 years plus as a clinical psychologist. You have dealt with a lot of couples where the man is in a very unique situation emotionally. Tell us about MEM.
Well, MEM is short for Mother Enmeshed Man, a phrase I use to describe men who, as boys, and were over-involved in their mother's problems as a result of a relationship between mother and father that wasn't working. And the mother leaned on the son too much and brought him into her personal problems, using him often as a surrogate spouse. So I use the word enmeshment to describe the son's over-involvement in his mother's life and problems at a cost to his life and his goals and dreams, and often, if not exclusively, at a cost to the women he later gets involved with, provided he can even get involved with the woman. And these men who had this problem as boys, we usually see one of two extremes, where it's obvious to everybody that the man is spending way too much time with mom. She calls every day. He's always over there. His wife, girlfriend, fiancé is his second fiddle, and it's obvious. Or we have the man on the other end who had experienced this as a boy, moved across the country, has no contact with his mother, but emotionally is still tied to her and finds it very difficult to be in a relationship with a woman without feeling intruded on or pressured by the woman for even benign commitments.
Now, a lot of this starts at a very young age, and I really liked what you said about women sometimes using their sons as surrogate husbands. And
yes,
that I know in dealing with counseling over the years, I have found many single women, dependent on what their marital situation was, that has been the case, and they're overly protective. You bring out a point that the natural process of development for boys makes the mother primary in the first 5 years, and then the father usually should come in to play more of a role between the ages of 5 and 12, and then more interaction with other male mentors. In our society, there have been so many women that have been left as single mothers,
yes,
and when they have a son, they do not understand how important it is to have those male mentors. What would you say to single mothers, women that are divorced and they love their sons? What can they do? How can they avoid making their sons one of these types of individuals? And I said making because there is that patterning, like you said, almost of, gee whiz, I don't want you to leave me because you're the center of my heart, you're my whole world, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you know, I think you're pointing to the fact that it feels very natural for the mother to lean on the son in the absence of a man or a good relationship in her life, and for the son to feel like he wants to fill a void. And there's nothing wrong with mother and son feeling care for each other. But the truth of the matter is that the mother does hold the key to the boundary. It is her responsibility to make sure she does not lean on her son too much. And there's no getting around that fact. So certainly, provided the father isn't abusive and, you know, finding it difficult to be with the son, she should encourage and support her son's involvement with the father, even in divorce situations, and should not drag the son into her problems, particularly around the father, and to remind him that thank you for your care and understanding, but those are my issues to work out with your father. I would like you to have a good relationship with your dad. So that's a boundary, right? That's a clear boundary.
Mm-hmm.
For
mm-hmm.
her to get her needs met outside of the house, her adult needs for companionship, so that she's not prone to lean on her son. And because obviously it grows out of loneliness and the burden of having to be a single mother and not having the time, or maybe not the trust, having been betrayed or hurt perhaps. And, of course, an adoring son isn't going to betray her. And it's not okay to take advantage of that. And so I urge the mother to get some support so that she can work through those issues and get some of her needs met. Because the truth of the matter is that the son's needs are lost to the mother, but the mother's needs are also lost. She loses her identity as well. And so support for her outside the home, encouragement for him to be involved with the father and other appropriate and healthy men so that he has some influence there. I did a talk show once with a couple women who were running the show out of Minneapolis, and one of the hosts said, you know, I have a 17-year-old son, and he said to me, Mom, hurry up and get married again so I can go off to college. So to think that this is not going on is really, on a frequent basis, and I think you're raising a good point, is really ignoring the big reality out there. And these sons feel very protective of their mothers in the absence of the fathers not participating. And she was stunned to hear this. And mm-hmm. it caused her, along with reading my book, to rethink, you know, how she has kind of inadvertently leaned on him, you know, as kind of a source of companionship. And we're talking inadvertent, not malicious. You know, she probably didn't have a malicious intention in her body. And yet it happens. It's a very small percentage of mothers who are maliciously feeling entitled to sort of ensnarl the son. Most of it's really more subtle and yet very profound.
Now, let me ask you a question. It has been my observation that dependent on a cultural background,
mm-hmm.
there are varying degrees of this. And if you look at various cultures throughout the world, there has often been a very strong line drawn
mm-hmm.
between a child's time with its mother and then, like you said, about the age 5, then it's like the males took over in the environment. There's many different cultures throughout the world where historically that was the case. Because the men would say, it's our responsibility now to train the sons. They are to be prepared for being a caretaker in the sense of being responsible. And this often was in a tribal type of an environment. There were particular boundaries, I'll use your word, that were drawn. And in that culture, in that environment, it really was important for survival. Those boundaries, I think, in the United States changed in the 30s.
I agree.
Where we had a shift where when young people started coming into puberty, all of a sudden, now we don't want them to be young adults. Now we are labeling them as children. Mm-hmm. So do you think any of this has an impact on the psyche of many of the approaches relative to the mom interacting with the sons?
You mean the cultural influences?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, by all means. I think that I think you have to look at this problem under the through the view of culture. Certainly, some cultures actually encourage more enmeshment. Some cultures are very clear, like the ones you mentioned. And in our culture, I think that we did begin to see back in the 30s or thereabouts, certainly during the Industrial Revolution, where fathers began leaving the home and leaving their son to take their place in
mm-hmm.
droves at that time. So the opposite, the other part of this storyline is that anytime you see an enmeshed man or a mother enmeshing her son, we also see a father abandoning his post. And oftentimes these fathers are not doing the job of staying involved with their sons or trying to work out their relationship and marriage with their wives and leaving their sons sort of victim to this vacuum. And mm-hmm. certainly I think you can look at culture as a factor in that by all means. And we have a culture where I think it's harder and harder for families to feel supported around these kind of issues. And we turn to our children or other escapes that are easy for comfort.
I think of a young mother that I've known for a lot of years, and we've interacted over the years in conversation. When she had her son, that she realized, she was very mature, and she realized that he needed to have the influence of the father, and they had gotten divorced. But what she did, she involved her son with the martial arts. Now, what has happened is that he's had a very strong male influence, and he has matured into this wonderfully responsible young man who has a very healthy attitude about women in his life, and yet at the same time he is enjoying his own masculinity. He has his own life, and his mother was wise enough to realize that there was going to come a time when he really isn't going to want to walk across the street with her necessarily. I mean, that's
right.
You know, that's just the reality. But she actually encouraged him to interact more and more with the father, who hadn't done all that much. But there, as he grew older, the father started interacting more. And again, it's been very satisfying to see this. And I think many times women feel so alone. What would you recommend for a man who has this over-involvement with concern about the mother? So many men go through so much pain with this.
Mm-hmm.
And the women are not, you know, the mothers are not aware of it. And then the girlfriends, I mean, they could get gray hair and, you know, have noses that grow to the ground before this guy ever seems to grow up. How can we address some of this? I know your book is wonderful relative to this, but give us some information and tips.
Well, I think, first of all, it's important for the man to know that it's not his fault. He didn't ask for this, and that he needs to be aware that the level of involvement and concern, while sweet and loving on one hand, is really quite inappropriate and a burden to him. And it's okay for him to have his own life and a life and a connection to his mother, and that it's okay to have some boundaries and begin to set those boundaries with mom. You know, I can't talk to you every day. I'll call you on the weekend, or I'll see you on the weekend. But to begin to set some very clear boundaries that helps him move away from the over-involvement with his mother so that he's more available to his wife, while reassuring her that, he's not abandoning her. Now, he may get an angry, guilt-producing response, and then he's going to have to work on telling himself that guilt, while strong and intense, is not reason to re-engage in the old pattern. So in those instances, if the man cannot sort of tell himself that I'm not going to act out of that guilt, I'm going to hold my position, if he can't hold that position, that's the time where he needs to think about some counseling or some therapy to get somebody who can help him sort that out so he can hold on to his own place. And in doing so, he'll be more available to making a commitment to the woman in his life. Because what the women in these guys' lives face is usually ambivalent and angry men. You know, there's a misnomer
mm-hmm.
in our culture that if the man is overly close to his mother, that he'll make a good companion for a woman. Well, that's not necessarily true. Certainly, if the man has a good connection to his mother and has had a loving connection, where he's been allowed to be in love with her, if you will, and then able to separate from her, that man will make a good companion for a woman. But the man who's been stuck with mom will not make a good companion for a woman, because he'll be angry, he'll be ambivalent, and he'll expect the woman in his life to take the rejection and the distance his mother would not take. So the more that he can create his own appropriate distance, let go of some of that guilt, work through some of that anger, and say, wait a minute, this is not fair. And besides, my mother's going to be fine. She acts like mm-hmm. she's going to die, but she's not going to die. In fact, maybe she'll go out and get an adult friend. So those are the suggestions I would give to him. And to really, really see that what he's been in has been a burden and unfair to him. And probably in his mother's heart, that's not what she wants for him.
Well, I think, again, that it's so, when you look at the way our world has evolved, and in many respects, a lot of people have become much more isolated from community involvement
yes.
and interaction with other people, lots of individuals, especially single parents, they are not aware of the options that they have to be out and to be involved with people. And I think that it is a catch-22. I have met and seen a number of individuals that have not felt like they had any place really in society, and they've become almost like hermits.
Yeah, and it takes more work to get out there and be connected to people than it once did. I mean, there isn't the community that it used to be, and so parents who are lonely find themselves in a single-parent household may be prone to lean on their children because it's just too difficult to work through the issues and about dating or getting out in communities. It takes a lot of work. It's true.
And for the guys, if they find that this is a patterning, you know, if you have, lots of times there's all of these different shows on television. It's one of the best comedy routines about the mother-in-law, the mother, you know, demanding being at the house every day. And we all sit and laugh and we ho, ho, ho. But the truth is there are quite a few people that have this experience, and it's very tough on them mentally and emotionally as well as physically. And
yes.
I agree with you. It's like you're inside a prison, and you feel like you're stuck, you can't get out. And I like your chapter where you say the guy should divorce mom and don't marry someone like her. That, talk about that, because I think that's so true.
Well, I love that chapter title, I have to confess. Yes, he has to go through some kind of emotional divorce from mom because he is living in a prison, and the prison walls are guilt and feelings of disloyalty. And every time he makes a move for his own independence, he runs into one of those walls. And so he has to get out from there. And sometimes what these men will do is they'll marry or hook up with a woman, a partner, who may be like mom, controlling, dominant, demanding, critical. And so part of their journey to independence is to get separate from mom enough that they can begin to ask themselves, well, what kind of person do I want to be with? Now, one of the downsides for some of the women who got involved with this charming, because Mother and Meshman can be very charming. I mean, one of the things that they do so well, because they were taught, is they can make the woman feel like there's nobody above her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the woman unsuspectingly gets swept off her feet by a charming Mother and Meshman who's learned from his mother to win the woman over and treat her as if she's the goddess. But then, you know, down the road into the commitment, into the marriage, he runs across his anger, his ambivalence, and now he turns on her. And she now starts to get angry, right? And so sometimes these women who are involved with the mother of mesh men will find themselves in some chronic anger and may have become critical. And so there's a dynamic now where the wife feels like the mother once did. And they're into a bad cycle, and this is where couples therapy can be really helpful for them, to help the woman, you know, say her position and her needs without sounding and looking like the mother, and to help the man see that he's got to take some responsibility for the rejection that he's given to the woman and his wife.
You have a son yourself, and I love the story that you had about your son, Zachary. When he was in the car with you and he was asking you questions, why do we wear seatbelts? And you said it's because you're my precious cargo. And
yes.
that stayed in his little mind very, very well. And he knows his special worth. And one of the things that's so special about your book is that you give information both for men and for women, which I thought was very important. And
yes,
then you address the parenting side. And I know our time is very limited, Dr. Adams, and I'm sorry that we had the problems where we weren't able to connect earlier. But I think that your book has so much value, and it's a problem that sometimes women, maybe moms, don't realize what they can do to keep something from happening where they have a son that's going to end up with a challenge or problem where he may not have healthy relationships and she may not have healthy relationships if she doesn't become aware of potentiality. You've got a lot of good information here. What's your website that people can go to?
The website is When He's Married to Mom, all one word with no apostrophe, or Dr. Ken Adams, Dr. Ken Adams, both.com. Either way, it'll get you into the site and get you into the book. And I have an Ask Dr. Adams part of the website where they can ask me questions, and I answer the questions as soon as I can get to them, and they show up on the website if they give me permission to do so.
When He's Married to Mom. Ladies, if any of you have ever dated a guy, or if you're married to someone who is just over at mom's every single day, there are situations, and you say, I can't stand this, it's driving me nuts. This is a book that will give you insight. If you're a single mom and you have sons, you need to understand that you can be a wonderful mother and you can enjoy your son in a way that's going to empower him as a male and empower you as a single parent. And this goes for dads, too. I think it's very important. This is something that is a very good read for anyone that wants to know more about how to create a better family unit so that we have productive, healthy children with healthy attitudes, and we have lives that are rich with purpose and value. Dr. Kenneth Adams, thank you so much.
Thank you, and well put. Thank you for having me. Bye-bye now.
It's been my pleasure. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and I know we've had a wacky schedule today, and we're so sorry for that, but it was some technical problems. We are going to be taking a break. We're going to be back right after this. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, broadcasting live from Anchorage, Alaska, where the sun is shining and where it was 20 below zero yesterday. Hey, we have boomed about 20 degrees up into the 30s, and the ice floes are breaking up, and they are moving along in the waters of Cook Inlet very quickly, and it's just a delight being here. And again, I apologize that we've had these problems. It was no one's fault. When things go wacky, they go wacky. But right now, telephone lines are open, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, this is the telephone number to call in to, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. If you're a first-time listener, I welcome you to the show. And if you want to call in and chat with me, all you need to do is call one of those numbers, give me your first name or your initial After that, I'll give you my mental input, and then we'll just take it from there, and you can ask a question then when I'm finished about anything or anyone that you like. Remember, I'm an information resource, and it is my delight to be able to do this with you. Also, I want to mention there are a couple of events coming up in the state of Washington. There is the Northwest Women's Show. This is an annual event which is absolutely exciting and marvelous, and I invite you to join me and 40,000-plus other women to this marvelous event. It's occurring March 28th, 29th, and 30th in Seattle, Washington, at the Quest Convention Center. I'm going to be speaking there each day, and my booth number is 406, so I hope you'll come by. But I want you to know Teresa Tapp, yes, you've heard Teresa on the show here, talking about wellness physically. And by golly, we're going to be able to meet her in person. She's going to be right on site there with us. Also, I wanted to say there are products and services. Go to their website, northwestwomenshow.com. You'll get all the information, the times for the show, which are 10 to 6 each day. You'll find out about parking, events that are going to be going on. Hey, carpool with your friends. Come on out. Put it on your calendar. It's absolutely a wonderful event. And like I said, I'm going to be there. I'm going to have a plethora of books, and that's booth number 406. Also, I am going to be speaking each day. We're going to be talking about the power of one. I'll be doing mind demonstrations, and then in my booth, I'll be doing mini consultations for any of you that want to stop by and have that done. Plus, I'll have all of these wonderful books from various authors that are going to be there. Then also, for those of you in the state of Washington, I'm going to be doing a class. It's mental ecology. It's about empowering you as a person. Take charge of where you are, and it's going to be held on April the 19th. It'll start at 10 in the morning. We're going to have a catered lunch, and it is going to be a wonderful time to take a moment for yourself and to look at what you want to do, where you want to go, and we will be doing brainstorming so we can see how you can get there in the most effective and efficient way. So again, if you need to contact me regarding any of this, call me at 800-872-8852. That's 800-872-8852. And apparently we are still having some problems with our email service, so it's been on and off, so we don't know what's behind it. And if you're having a problem, again, call my office, 800-872-8852, so I can give you an optional email if you need it to be able to reach me. So give me a call today here on the show if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be going to break in a few minutes, but before we do, I have some absolutely exciting information that I obtained from some material that I got out of Scientific American, and I'm going to be sharing it with you, not today because we don't have enough time, but I have to tell you, I'm very, very excited about some of the medical breakthroughs that are coming up, and I'm going to be talking with you about that in perhaps tomorrow's show or in one coming up. But one thing I wanted to share with you, if you're a Star Trek fan, as I have been for years, remember, you know, the Dr. Bones in the original Star Trek where they had a handheld scanner and they used it over their patients? They could take it anywhere on any planet. Well, that innovative thought that was used, of course, it was make-believe, and my goodness, everybody said at the time, oh, isn't that wonderful, that's science fiction. Not anymore. There is a high-price ultrasound machine that has been developed by the Simons Medical Solutions, and they said it's called PT-10. It saves critical minutes by letting doctors, nurses, and EMT screen patients anywhere quickly and administer medical care on the move. Now, apparently, GE Healthcare is working on something similar. And also, doctors are going to be able to locate tumors better with a new ultra-miniature endoscope that promises to, using Star Trek terminology, boldly go where no one's gone before. Now, this was developed at Massachusetts General Hospital. This particular device uses a light from a single optical fiber. It uses it through a probe, which is about the width of a human hair. Amazing, isn't it? This is going to allow this probe to navigate and be able to show doctors delicate body structures like the middle ear, areas in the brain, and without causing tissue damage. And it's also going to reduce the need for anesthesia. Now, what is the time frame on these devices? They're working on them right now. They're doing the testing and the trials. They figure about 3 years. But technology is moving forward at such a phenomenal rate. And you'll hear me say that occasionally, and it is absolutely mind-boggling to me. To be able to keep up with this, the average doctor is just going to have a terrible time. They have a terrible time right now. And that's why it's important for us as consumers to be informed. So that's just a little bit of information I wanted to share with you today. I'm going to take a break. Remember, you can call me at 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to be right back.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Siebel on her show on BBSRadio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
As a counselor, Donna Siebel is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Well, a lot of you out there are getting ready for Easter, and I know in the Siebel household, we usually go out for the Easter holiday, but there have been times when I have had Easter brunch at my home and invited family and friends. But for so much of that, if your schedule is really, really busy, maybe you like to do a potluck, maybe you've been invited to someone's home, and you'd like to take something along that is really going to be nutritious, it's going to be pretty, and you know it's going to be a hit. Well, there is a gal, Kathy Manwheeler, who came up with, I think, a wonderful recipe. It's a type of a quiche. But she is one of these people that likes to be heart healthy. So I thought I would share this with you because this is a casserole. In fact, you can put the whole thing together the night before. How's this for something that's an advantage? Put it together the night before, and then you can bake it in the morning. Now, I promised I was going to give you this recipe, so let me do it. It's called the Kitchen Sink Brunch Casserole. She named it aptly because you could really put in just about any kind of ingredients that you want. But let me just tell you what you're going to need to do. You need to have a standard, you know, baking pan that, oh, let me see, a 9 by 13. I think that's about a good size. And if you wanted to double this recipe, you could. It's something that's really going to be convenient to take. Or if you were going to serve it in your own home, it can be pretty, it can be attractive, and you can have some wonderful condiments with it. So it's real simple. This is heart healthy. Now, she took an original recipe that was very, very high in calories, and she said, I want to shift it, but I don't want to lose the taste of this. So this is what she did. She said, what you want to have is your nonstick cooking spray, and instead of using butter in your casserole dish to grease it, just use the nonstick cooking spray. And she said she was able to reduce the calories in this recipe by 59% and decrease the fat by 85%. 8%. Instead of an average serving being well over 500 calories, she was able to reduce it substantially. So an average serving is only 255. That's right. So you could have that sweet roll or whatever else you might want to have. Now, this is what you're going to need. You're going to need 8 2-ounce slices of French bread. So that's about a pound of French bread. And you want to cut it into half-inch cubes. That's right. Cut it into half-inch cubes. You're going to need 8 center-cut bacon slices, and you want to cook these so that the fat's rendered out, and you want to crumble them finely. You want 1 cup of cooked spinach, 1 cup of cooked spinach, 1 cup of tomatoes, seeded and chopped. And it's important to remove the seeds because the seeds have extra moisture in them and can affect the dish. So you want to chop them finely. Then you need about 3/4 cup of finely shredded cheddar cheese, and she recommended the 2%. If you don't care about calories, use your regular extra, extra sharp cheddar cheese. 1 1/4 cups of egg substitutes, such as egg beaters. And if that isn't an issue to you, then you could use regular eggs, 1 1/4 cups worth. You need 1/2 cup of half and half, 1/2 cup of half and half, 1 1/2 cups of 2% milk, 1 1/2 cups of 2% milk, 1 teaspoon of salt, and 1 teaspoon of dried mustard, 3 scallions chopped for garnish, and you could have 1 tablespoon of fresh parsley chopped also for garnish. So that you're going to just keep to the side because you'll use that towards the end of the cooking time to make your casserole really look nice. So this is what you do. You're going to take those breadcrumbs, that pound of breadcrumbs, and you are going to put them in the bottom of your baking dish. Then you're going to take your crumbled bacon, spinach, and tomatoes. Now, let me just make a suggestion to you. If you're in a real hurry, you can get the pre-cooked bacon in packages. But I will tell you, if you will fry and drain your bacon, make sure it's well rendered of the fat, and crumble that, that's going to have more flavor than the pre-packaged, pre-cooked bacon that you can buy on the shelf. But if you're in a pinch, you can use that and get it to your local grocery store. The spinach and tomatoes, then you put that in right along with the crumbled bacon and also the bread. Then you're going to top that with your shredded cheese, and you take your eggs, your egg substitute, your half and half, your 2% milk, your salt, and your dried mustard, and you mix them thoroughly. Just whip them together. It takes you just a couple of minutes. And you pour that over the bread mixture, and you gently take a spatula and push the bread down so it soaks all of the bread in the egg mixture. It basically is forming a crust. That's what it does. Instead of you making a pie crust, which is made with a lot of fat, you know, if you make good pie crust, you know what it is. You use butter, you use lard, you are going to use, some people use Crisco, but the amount of calories just in crust is very, very high. So using the bread cuts your calories down quite a bit. Then you just cover it with foil, and you bake your casserole at 350 degrees for 35 to 40 minutes. Now, what you want to do, because the foil should sit lightly on there, when you take the foil off, the cheese should be starting to brown. You can, if you desire, let it bake for a little bit longer so it gets a little browner, crustier. And you can sprinkle your parsley and your scallions over the top. It serves 8 people, and they're very good servings there. If you wanted to use some other kind of meat, if you preferred to use chicken, if you wanted to use sausage, you can do all kinds of things with this. And something that will add color to it, if you are interested in doing it, is take a little bit of onion, and you use your own mixture. I'm sort of a person that does stuff like this just by eye. But I'll take a red bell pepper and I'll saute it with my onion and render most of the moisture out. If ever you fix quiche and you put vegetables into it, if you've not rendered the moisture out of the vegetables where they're firm, then when you're baking the quiche, then your quiche, that's basically what this is. It's called casserole, but it is like a quiche. And what happens is that the quiche will be very wet, and you don't want that. Now remember, when you take it out of the oven and just throw the veggies in right on top. And you know what? You could even use broccoli. Just make sure that you cook your vegetables so that the moisture is rendered out of them. You can do anything and everything with this casserole, but you can cut down on the calories like she suggested, and it can still come out so delicious. And some of you might want to just use a non-fat milk. But again, it's up to you. If you're on a low-fat diet, you can adjust this so that it can still be deliciously flavorful. If you don't care, you can adjust it and use, you know, your standard milk or whatever. So the recipe is versatile, it's healthy, and it's tasty. And you can add cayenne pepper to it. You can do all kinds of things. Well, I know we're just about out of time here, and I want to thank my guest, Dr. Adams. Again, I'm sorry we didn't have the full time due to technical problems that were not the fault of anyone. It's just what happens sometimes with equipment. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Dr. Petty in Georgia. Healing, meaning, and purpose are the topics of, well, they're self-explanatory. So join us tomorrow right here, same time at same place. Donna Sebo Show with Dr. Petty. And remember always, you are the master of the fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.